Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I want to read a well-known scripture from Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to read verse 5 and 6, and a lot of you will know this off by heart. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. The title of my message this morning is, Who or What Are You Leaning On? Who or what are you leaning on? I got saved in 1956. I was 15. Long time ago, isn't it? I didn't know much about the Bible at all, but I knew I was saved. I knew Jesus had forgiven me and cleansed me, and I was a Christian. I knew it. I worked with about 200 men in a factory, and I witnessed to them as much as I could, but I didn't know much. I didn't have any understanding of the Bible or anything. I was just raw, but I knew I got saved. And when I was about 16, about a year after getting saved, I was talking to one of the men in the factory that I really liked. I liked him. I was 16, and he would have been probably 50 years of age. And I was witnessing to him about Jesus. And then he said something to me that quite astounded me. He says, John, stop. I understand your faith. I understand you're trying to convince me. He says, but let me just tell you something. You use God as a crutch. That's what he said. You lean on God. You use Him as a crutch. And I said, no, I don't. He says, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. He says, yes, you do. You use Christianity, God and Jesus, as a crutch to lean on. He said, because you're not strong enough by yourself. He says, you can't do it by yourself. You need God to lean on. So I said, no, I don't. So that conversation finished. And I went home. I was 16. And I thought, fancy him saying that to me, that God is my crutch that I'm leaning on. So I started to ask the Lord about it. I said, Lord, is this true? Are you my crutch? And so I did quite a bit of thinking, quite a bit of reading, and I read this scripture. And then I realized the guy was speaking the truth. He was speaking the truth. About a year later, another man said the same thing to me. He said, John, God is your crutch. And immediately I says, you're absolutely right. I said, who's yours? I have learned that I need to lean on God. Who do you lean on? Because everybody leans on something or someone. Every one of you here, lean on something. No man is an island to himself. No man. You're leaning on something. You cannot go through life without wanting a crutch. No man can live life just by himself without anybody else. No man, no woman. And by the way, sometimes it's good to lean on people. Children lean on their parents. Very, very healthy thing to do. Nothing wrong with that at all. And as we travel through life, there's so many complexities, so many problems, so many worries come our way that we look for people to help us. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with leaning on somebody for a bit of help and a bit of guidance. Nothing wrong with that. But let me say this. You've got to learn to really lean on God, because He will never let you down. Now, that was 66 years ago when I was told that, when I answered that question to the guy. I said, I know I do lean on God now. I know it. Who are you leaning on? 66 years ago. How many of you know that's a long time?
Yes.
A lot of you haven't lived that long. Most of you haven't lived that long. It's a long time. And in those 66 years, I've seen people come and go. I've talked to a lot of people. I've witnessed to a lot of people. I've witnessed to thousands. I've talked, and I'm becoming a pastor. I've heard the problems and the distresses of people. I've seen people with broken marriages, broken homes, financial problems, sickness problems. I've witnessed to many, many people, and I've watched people who have crutches that's not God. They lean on something to give them the strength of life that they need, and guess what? They miserably fail. Do you know there's a lot of people on crutches out there? A lot. A lot. They can, people make crutches out of drugs, out of alcohol, out of tobacco, out of sex, out of notoriety, out of money. People think if they can have enough money, if they can lean on their finances, they're going to be all right. Do you know the book of Proverbs says, those people who want money and desire it never have enough. No matter how much you've got, the Bible says, you've never got enough. Because no matter how much money you have in your pocket or in your bank, no matter how much, there's not enough for you to lean on it and for it to keep you upright. It will fall. And there's nothing worse than having a crutch that slips from under you. If you're leaning, the only time I've ever used a crutch was when I put my back out in 1977. I was in a bad, bad way. And Pastor Pamela, he was only youngster, 12 or 13 at the time, something like that. And I'd got to get to the doctors. He wouldn't come out and see me. I was in agony. So I got a sweeping brush and put it under my arm, and Julie on the other side, poor little Julie. And together, got into a car, and she got me into the doctors. And as soon as he saw me, he says, got to call an ambulance straight away. That's what he said, but he won't come and see me. I'd got to break my... And on the way there, my crutch slipped. And it was a brush for my crutch. It slipped. I want to tell you, really, really hurt when the crutch slipped. Oh, my back. Crutches. My dear wife, who's in a nursing home, uses me to lean on. When I walk with her, bless her, she grabs hold of my arm and puts her arm around my, and she's leaning on me as she's trying to walk and hobble along. And I look at these people in the nursing home. They've got walkers, walking sticks, leaning on people. Some people have two people to help them. And how important it is that their crutches, their walkers, the people they're leaning on, don't let them down. Come on. But we live in a world where people do let us down, where people look at crutches thinking that is going to be the answer, and it's not. Do you know, it's amazing how many people think marriage will be the answer. You know, if I can get the right wife, if I can get the right husband, that will be the answer. And once the honeymoon is finished, you realize it's not. True? Come on. It isn't. I married lots of people over the years in the ministry. I married lots. I've seen people at the altar saying their vows to one another. I'm praying for them. They're looking at each other with those sparkly eyes, seeing nothing but beauty in each other. And a lot of those today are divorced, who said, I love you with every fiber of my being, but they're divorced. They found out that their wife or their husband was not the crutch that they could lean on. You can't lean on people spiritually, mentally, or emotionally. You can lean on people physically, like my dear wife does with me when I walk with her. But you can't lean on people. You need God. Let me read this scripture now in the light of what I just said, the scripture that I just read to you, verses 5 and verse 6 of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. well, 66, 67 years since I became a Christian. And the guy said to me, he's your crutch. And I first said, no, he's not. And then I realized he is. And guess what? 66, 67 years later, God is still my crutch. I'm still leaning on him. And I'm not leaning on him because I wish I didn't. I'm leaning on him because I want to do. He is my source of life. He is my strength. He is my healer. He is my prosperity. He is my joy. He is my peace. He is my life. Not always have I done that. As I've gone through life like you, there's times when I lean on him more than others. And you know when you lean on the Lord the most, don't you? When you're in trouble. Come on, when you realize this trouble knocking at the door, you want, come God, help me with this one. But sometimes the troubles come and go, and in between we stop leaning. And we start to lean on our own imagination. We start to lean on our own dependence. We think it's us. He says, do not lean on your own understanding. But we do. And from time to time, I have. And can I say this to you? And I want you to really listen. You online as well. Really listen to what I'm saying today. When I've leaned on my own understanding, no matter how right I thought it was, it didn't really help me. Because I can't find my way without him. He is my crutch. He is the one on whom I lean. I depend on him. And that's what faith really means, what it tells us to believe, when it tells us to trust. Faith really means I depend on God. I depend on God. We got lots of little children here. When I first came to this church, not so many years ago, there was hardly any kids. There were nearly a lot of old people that's all gone now. But gone into a good place. But there was hardly any children. But so we've watched a lot of those kiddies being born, and as little tiny babies, totally dependent on mum and dad. Totally. Totally. Even though they don't realize it, even though they don't understand it, they are totally dependent on their parents. Come on. Do you know when their trouble starts? When they don't become dependent on their parents. When they think they can do it alone. And this is a part in life which we have to try to do things alone. But be careful who you lean on today. Be careful who you are depending on today. I learned many, many, many years ago, one of the greatest lessons in life I learned was not to depend on politics. I'm serious. I couldn't be more serious today. I have learned not to depend on politics. Because I don't care whether you come from the lefties or the righties or the middles or whatever. You can't depend on them. Because they're people, sinful people like you and I, with problems and difficulties of their own. I remember once preaching a sermon in Forestfield at a church, and it was packed, and I preached my heart out. And as soon as the meeting had finished and the pastor pronounced the blessing, I was going to come off the platform. A guy came rushing up to me. It was a well-dressed gentleman. He looked at me in the eye and he says, "What a load of rubbish you just preached." Looked at the preacher just like that, straight in the face. "What a load of rubbish you've just preached." I said, "What?" He says, "You will learn one day that what you've preached today is absolute rubbish and you can't depend on it." That's what he said to me. Off he went like a shot. Well, that must have been 30 years ago. and I'm still believing what I preached. And I'm still preaching it, because the Word of God never fails. You can call the Word of God, you could scoff at the Word of God, you can laugh at the Word of God, but the Word of God never fails. It says, do not lean on your own understanding. Well then, whose understanding am I to lean on? Well, obviously the Lord's, because it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, the Lord, and He will make your path straight. Now I'm going to read to you from verses 1 down to verse 7, I think it is. Let me read this beautiful passage. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. This is talking about the Word of God. They're going to prolong your life many years. And you may say to me, but what happens, Pastor, for those Christians who've died young? No, they're not dead. They got life for many years. They've got eternal life. I was talking to somebody once, and this person said to me, John, come on, what happens if you die today and you find out there's nothing? And I said, well, if I died today and there was nothing, I wouldn't be able to find that out, would I? Because there's nothing. I said, well, that's it. When you're dead, you're dead. He says, I said, hang on, whoa. I said, so you say, if I die after all my preaching and there's nothing, you're trying to say to me that you're going to feel really bad. I said, but I won't know anything if there's nothing, like you won't. I said, but what if what I'm saying is true? What about you? Where does it put you? I know I've got eternal life. I know I've got a home being made in heaven right now. But do you know where you're going? What the Bible says, a lost eternity. He shut up then. It's true. It's true. I enjoy, by the way, let me just say this. I enjoy being a Christian because I don't lean on my own understanding, or I try not to. So my understanding comes from the Bible, from God's Word. So I am trusting my life to God's Word. When I say I trust God, what does that mean? That's nebulous. But if I trust my life to God's Word, and that's what we're reading about this morning, that's what it's saying. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Oh, hallelujah. What did David say? Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that. Hallelujah. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. You're going to win favor with men. I've proved over and over again, you win favor with people. I've had favor of God from people, both Christians and non-Christians, over and over and over again. I've had people laugh at me, mock me when I worked with these 200 men. I remember I used to witness to them, and they used to come together and pull my leg. They used to make me try to feel as big as that. They used to laugh, and I won't tell you some of the things that they used to do, because I was witnessing the love of Jesus. But I tell you what, I worked in that factory for 11 years. And over those 11 years, most of those men at some time came to me and for help and advice and a prayer. They didn't come in a gang. When the gang was there, they were mocking. But they came, like Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He was in the crowd with the people, but wouldn't ask him the questions because the crowd were mocking him. But he came to Jesus at night and he says, teacher, we know that you're a teacher come from God. Rabbi, we know that you've come from God, for nobody can do the miracles that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus said to him, I'm going to tell you something now. Unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So I've learned that God gives favor to us from non-Christians as well as Christians. Come on. I could give you testimony on testimony of the favor that God gives to us over and over again. The scripture said, because I'm not leaning on my understanding. If I lean on my own understanding, I'll be looking for revenge. I'll be holding unforgiveness. I'll become nasty, horrible, cruel. If I lean on myself, but I'm not going to do that. I'm leaning on the goodness of my God. And people see that, and people reward you. That's what the scripture says. No, I've proved it. See, I can preach a sermon like this because I've lived the years. Come on, I'm preaching from experience now. I'm not a novice. I'm not a beginner. I was a beginner. I set out with nothing, not understanding anything, coming from a family that didn't love God, coming from a dysfunctional family, and not having a brain to work things out myself. I was always put down because I was a nobody and a no good. But God got hold of me, and I started to use him. Even when I said, this guy says he's your crutch, and I said, he's not. Well, thank God he was, and he is. Hallelujah. I didn't realize it at the time, but I'm leaning on him. Amen. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I love the word heart there, since I've learned to understand it more in these later scientific days. Because, you know, the word heart, we tend to think, oh, the heart is just a pump. You know, and it just uses those expressions. And we talk about the heart and love is in the heart and that. But it doesn't really. No, it's all happens up there. That's where it is, in the brain. Well, we found out now that there's over 40,000 brain cells that's in your heart. Your heart has got brain cells there. That's why God says love him, not just with your mind, but with your heart. Amen? Come on. There's something about the heart that is wonderful. The heart is the expression of emotions. And it's artists and poets and writers written, like, for years they've written about the heart and the feelings that people get in their heart, because the heart actually has got brain cells within it. My heart can respond to God. My brain can, but my heart can as well. Come on. Come on. This is true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding, on your own brain. Don't do that. And if you are, you're brainless. Don't do it. It's not, your brain hasn't got the capacity for you to go through life without sin. It hasn't got the capacity for you to go through life understanding everything. It hasn't. You know, there's an interesting scripture. I was listening to somebody the other day having a real go at God. Having an absolute go at God. And the scripture came to my mind from Proverbs. A man's own folly destroys his life, but his heart rages against the Lord. A man's own folly destroys his life, but his mind and his heart rages against God. Blaming God for the problems he's gotten into. Blaming God for the trouble he's gotten into. Why? Because he's not leaning on God. He's leaning on himself, or this person, or that person, or this thing, or that thing. He's leaning on these things, thinking they're going to take him through. And they don't. Notoriety doesn't take you through. Being top of the pops doesn't take you through. Being the greatest sportsman or woman, great athlete, doesn't take you through. We have story upon story of people who've made it to the top, financially made it to the top, and yet their lives are a mess, because those things that you're leaning on cannot supply what you really need. St. Augustine was right when he said it. He was a bishop of Hippo, and about 300 odd years after Jesus had gone to heaven, he said these things. St. Augustine, before he became a Christian, was a real bad guy. He wanted to be a lawyer. His dad wanted to be educated and to go, and he wanted to make money, and his father was quite wealthy. But he was a womanizer. He was a thief. He was a pretty bad guy. Then he got saved. He got born again. He changed and became a bishop. And this is what he said. He said, "Oh Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts have no rest until they rest in you." How powerful is that? That could have been scripture, couldn't it? He was definitely inspired. "Oh Lord, you made me for yourself. You made us for yourself. Therefore, our hearts have no rest unless they rest in you. Do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Shun evil." And then it goes on to say, "This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." Who wants to stay healthy? Okay. Now, whether you stay healthy down here or not, the day will come when you will be healthy for eternity. That's at the resurrection. Now, we try our hardest to be healthy here, don't we? We try. We try everything we can to stay healthy. But we know that there's a resurrection coming. And one day you'll see this body of mine, you look at me and you think, "Wow, look at him." You look at me, you'll be blown out of your mind. You say, "Is that the John Warwick, that old bloke that we used to know in our church? Is that, look at him. He can't be a day over 25. And look at the looks he's got. What a handsome creature he is." And I would be like that forever. Yeah. Never grow old again. This is a promise of God for you and me. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Listen to what Jesus said. I just want to read this scripture from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. This is Jesus speaking. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." What is he telling us to do? Come to him and lean on him. "Come to me, you who are weary, tired, burdened of this life." And how many of you know there's a lot of hurting people out there? All around the world, we got three hotspots that could easily develop into world wars right now. People are being killed, maimed, mutilated. It's a sad, sad world. Why? You see, this is by the way, is an absolute contradiction to evolution. Evolution, the word evolution means to unfold, to evolve, in the sense that you're getting better. Because you see, in evolution, the strongest survive. It's the survival of the fittest, the best looking, the best brains. So that's evolution. It's like a plant in a bud that opens up into absolute beauty. They've been preaching evolution now for 150 years. What do you look at when you look at the world? Come on. You see prisons full. Listen to this. This is first-hand news. I've seen it in the newspapers from England. Spoke to a few people in England about it. All of the prisons in England are so full. The judges now are saying to people who've committed rape not to imprison them because there's no room for them. So in England, people who've committed rape and certain crimes are going out, just got to go and report to the police because there's no room for them in prison. How many of you think that's disgusting? Yes. This is in 2023... of evolution. The prisons are full to overflowing worldwide. Mental institutions are full to overflowing worldwide. There's wars being fought today that could, without the intervention of God, end life as we know it. Yes. once you get the nuclear powers coming in. This is a world, it's a contradiction to evolution. It's not evolving into something beautiful and pretty and the survival of the fittest. It's not. It's getting worse, more evil, greedy. Do you know one of the big problems we've got in our schools right now? Listen to this. Vaping. Vaping. Kids are getting hooked onto vaping and they're putting nicotine into the vapes so the kids get hooked onto nicotine and tobacco again. It's a problem that there is no answer for. Drugs, no answer for it. Drugs are coming into countries left, right, and nobody's got an answer, but people are dying, being maimed. People's lives are just horribly, horribly not even existing, they aren't, because they're so, well, that's the world we live in when people lean on their own understanding. I hope this is not boring you. I hope this is not boring you. I hope it's not. I hope you're thinking, what a doomsday preacher you are. Yes, I am. Because I'm living in doomsday. I'm not living in a pretty world. I'm not living in a perfect world. I'm living in a world where today people will be murdered in Australia. People will be raped in Australia. People will be committing suicide in Australia. Many, many people will attempt suicide in Australia. People are on the streets full of drugs and they're blown out of their mind. They're smelly, stinking. They're not eating or drinking properly. That's the world. I'm not talking about a third world country. I'm talking about the Western world. I'm talking about America, Australia, England, Europe. The third world countries, they've got incredible problems with disease and sickness. It goes on and on. Dictatorship, it goes on. It's not a pretty world because people lean on their own understanding. That's why. So Jesus said, loud and clear, he said, come to me. Come to me. I believe he shouted that. I do. I don't think he just said it quietly. Come to. I believe his heart was aching for people. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You can lean on him. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I came across a very old hymn. This is the part that Pastor Pamela doesn't like when I talk about the old hymns that I know. But I came across this as I was preparing this message. I just thought of it. And we used to sing this years ago. Now, some of you will know it and you could sing with me, but I'm not going to sing, but you could. It's a good old hymn, one of the old ones. For you young ones that's never heard of it, just listen to these words. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Hallelujah. Aren't they beautiful words?
Yes.
I've experienced that for 67 years. I've experienced leaning on Jesus. Sometimes I've been foolish enough and not leaned, and I've suffered the consequences. But I can say to you as a testimony, I was leaning on him when I became 15. That's when my life started. I'm now 82. I'm leaning on him harder than I ever did before. Hallelujah. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Hallelujah. I think that was a pretty good sermon, don't you? I could see some of you weren't looking that interested, but I was really enjoying preaching it because it's the truth. And it's a truth that sets you free. And if you didn't like this message, then I feel really sorry for you because you've stopped leaning. You've stopped being secure in Him. Don't try and find your security in church. Doesn't happen. Don't find your security in another Christian. Doesn't happen. It's got to be Jesus. Jesus didn't say, come to John Warwick, or you who are weary and heavy laden. He didn't say that. He didn't say, come to Buddha, or you who are weary and heavy laden. He didn't say, come to Mohammed, or you who are weary and heavy laden. Come to Krishna, or you who are weary. He says, come to me. Come to Jesus. Come to me, or you who are weary and heavy laden. He is the way, the truth, the life. There's no other. There is no other. And they laugh and they mock and they can point the finger. And I close with this. I had a family, a big family. Some of my family became Christians and others didn't. I saw what happened to those who were not Christians. And I saw what happened to those who are. I've lived long enough to see people who's learned to live on Jesus, lean on Him, and come through. I've seen their lives much better, much happier, much stronger, because they're leaning on Him. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your trouble may be or what toil you're in. I don't know. And we all go through it. This life is full of it. But I can guarantee this, that if you will trust in Him with all your heart, not lean on your own understanding, whatever you're going through right now, you'll come through. Did you hear that? It won't destroy you. It won't put you down because you'll come through. And I finish with this last point. I know it's a bit of a long last point, but I finish with this last point. The Scripture tells us very clearly that God loves us and cares for us. And no matter what is happening to us, if we trust Him and believe in Him, He'll bring us through. But sometimes life can be complicated. Have you noticed that? Some of you have got complicated lives. Some of you have got marriage problems, kids problems, financial problems, sickness problems. Complicated. Many, many years ago, when I was a young Christian, I went into a monastery to have a look round with a group of other Christians. And I saw this big tapestry, massive. It was on a big display. I looked at it. I thought, wow, what a beautiful tapestry that is. Wow, whoever did that. It was huge, massive, big thing. And a beautiful picture of Jesus and the lambs around Him. Just beautiful. And as I thought, it just struck me so gorgeous. And so as I was walking around, I had to come behind it. I came behind the tapestry and I looked at it. And it seemed so strange. It was just lines of cotton, wool, going all over the place. And I thought, wow, that doesn't look beautiful. That looks a bit of a mess. If I turned the tapestry round and pointed that to people, they'd look at it and think, what is that? Modern art? They wouldn't even consider it. And I think that's how we look at life, from the wrong side of the tapestry. God is working for you. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. You might not see it. You might see squiggles and lines. You might think, where's this going? What is that doing? How's that going to help me? But you're not looking at your life the way that God is, because He's leading and guiding, and all things, all things work together for good to them that love God. Those who are not leaning on their own understanding. I don't see the tapestry finished. I've got questions in my life about my family, about my sister that died of a cancer and different things that I've got many questions, because I'm not looking at the completed tapestry. I'm looking at God weaving something beautiful in my life, and I'm trusting it's beautiful. Doesn't look beautiful at the moment, but I'm trusting it is. I'm trusting it is, because one day I will see the tapestry completed. Hallelujah. I'll see it, and you will see it, and you'll say, oh, God, the times I complained about that. Oh, God, the times I thought that was going to destroy me. And look what you've done to it. You've brought about a beautiful picture just for me. So don't lean on your own understanding. I'd like to pray for people here this morning that are feeling it a bit tough. Or maybe there's things in your life that you think, where is God in that? What is God doing in that? How could God possibly be in that? And maybe you're thinking to yourself, I need some prayer. I need some help. So just close your eyes. Bow your head. You see what you're going through from your perspective. But if you're a child of God, if you love Him, if you're leaning on Him, then He's going to work all things out for good. But if you've stopped leaning on Him, if you've stopped trusting and depending on Him, maybe you need to get back into the fold. Maybe you need to say, Lord, I'm so sorry. I need to get back where I really belong. So just close your eyes, bow your head. If that's you, if you feel, God, I just need some help here. Thank you for the word this morning. I just need to come into that place where I can not depend on myself. I can use you for my crutch. I can trust you like I never have before. I feel I need a prayer. What if that's you? Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Just put your hand up in the air so I can see it. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. I see your hands. Okay, you could put your hands down. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, you see those who raise their hand. Lord, I understand, because I too have been in place, Lord, where things have been so complicated, so unrealistic. Lord, you see their hearts. And you see what has troubled them and hurt them, and what has confused them. But Father, I pray that today they'll start taking your word very seriously again, and they'll start to trust in you with all their heart. They won't lean on their own understanding, because doing that's just going to bring them torment and pain and suffering. But help them, Lord, to lean on you and say, Lord, I know that in you all things work together for good to them that love God. For each person that raised their hand, I pray a special blessing upon them this day. Your blessing and your peace. And for those who didn't, Lord, for the rest of us, I pray. And those, Lord, that are watching online now, I pray for all of us. Help us to trust you with all of our heart. Please, don't let us rely and depend on our weak understanding, confused understanding, but help us to trust you, Jesus, because Jesus, your words ring loud in our ears. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Jesus, we come to you now and we say, Lord, we want you to just wrap your arms around us. We want you to share with us all the wonderful eternal values that you believed in, that you lived by, and that you have. That those values will become our values, that our walk will be with you every day of our life. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you.